Aging and Disease Prevention Radio is right here on Radio MD. Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
My guest today says that breathing retraining is helpful for sleep apnea and I think some other snoring issues, sleep issues. Her name is Dr. Tess Graham. She's the author of Relief from Snoring and Sleep Apnea. She's calling in from Australia. It's like 7:30 in the morning there, so I really appreciate her calling in. Dr. Graham, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you.
Why don't we just start off with what your inspiration was for writing a book on snoring and sleep apnea?
Well, for over probably 15 years at the time, I had been teaching people how to change the way they breathe and take themselves back to breathing the way a non-snorer did. And my clients basically begged me to put it in writing because they had friends and relatives who needed, you know, this program all over the world and couldn't reach them. So that was my inspiration. It was my clients, my patients.
So it wasn't personal, like a husband or a partner or yourself snoring or something like that? Or in my case, my dog?
No one in my house would dare snore, but my two of my three children had asthma when they were young. And so for 7 years, I tried to work out what was going wrong, you know, why they developed asthma, when it wasn't in my family. And so what I discovered was that it was linked to an incorrect breathing pattern as well. So that was the impetus for me to look into breathing retraining, which for them meant that their asthma went away. And so they've now had, you know, 25 years free of asthma from doing a breathing retraining program. That was back in 1992. So that inspired me to study this and work with it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the breathe and retraining in a moment. I want to get into what, because quite honestly, Dr. Graham, that's what caught my eye. You know, when you do a radio show, you get pitched all kinds of different ideas and stuff. And it usually is the title that captures my eye. When I saw breathing retraining, I thought that was so interesting. So I want to get into the specifics, kind of what that really means. But before we do that, let's back up for a sec and let's talk about snoring and sleep apnea. How prevalent is this and how dangerous is it?
Yes to both. Very prevalent, with at least 50% of the over 60s snoring. And it's not just the men. At least 30% of adult women snore. 25% of pregnant women snore, which is actually now shown to be harmful to their baby. And 25% of primary school age children snoring. Sleep apnea, you know, the figures are really hard to come by because most cases go undiagnosed. But somewhere between 9 and 20% of adults are thought to have, you know, the much more serious condition, sleep apnea.
So what's the difference then between just a loud snore and somebody with sleep apnea?
Okay, so with snoring, most people who develop sleep apnea start off as mild snorers and go to moderate and then really, really heavy snoring. And then usually it's partners will notice, they will just start to stop breathing. So they'll snore and snore and snore, and then it's all peacefully and blessedly quiet for a while. Then the partner gets worried because they realize they've actually stopped breathing. Then they'll start up again, somewhere between 10 seconds and 2 minutes, with a very loud snort or a choking sound, and they may wake themselves up. This is very disruptive to sleep, very hard on the heart, and is associated with increased risk of high blood pressure and stroke, as well as just all the terrible things that happen with the sleep deprivation.
Now, before we get, we're going to talk about the breathing retraining and what that really is here in just 1 second. Before we do that, though, so there's two types of sleep apnea, right? There's what I think is referred to as central, which is not necessarily obstructive. It's something going on in the brain, versus obstructive sleep apnea, which is where, like, the soft tissue in the neck kind of over, you know, closes over the airway. So which one are you focusing on? Are you focusing on central sleep apnea or the obstructive kind?
Well, the obstructive kind is much more common, but breathing retraining has a role to play in both of them because they are both associated with a pattern of breathing, over-breathing, of breathing too fast breathing in too much air too quickly. So in the case of obstructive sleep apnea, and this is what snoring is when you really drill down to it, the snorer breathes in 2 to 3 times more air per second than does a non-snorer. And that's why their throat rattles and vibrates and makes the snoring noise. But that force of that air can also suck the airway closed. So it creates a negative pressure and can lead not only to the snoring noise but obstructive sleep apnea. Now, someone with central sleep apnea, they are also shown to breathe 2 to 3 times more air than a non-snorer or someone with healthy breathing. But in their case, what it does is it drops the carbon dioxide level down below the apnea threshold and the brain signal fails, which is why it's called central sleep apnea, central being induced by a failure in the brain signal, the central signal. So even though the types look different, they are both set off by an extra large, fast breath.
Okay, so let's assume I have sleep apnea. What do I need to do then? You know, what are the steps? What are the techniques I need to practice to retrain my breathing?
So the first thing you need to do is identify where your breathing differs from normal, healthy breathing. So in most cases, the breathing is too fast and done with the upper chest, which also tends to lead to an increase in breathing volume per second. The other really common fault is mouth breathing. So people who breathe through their mouth during the day are basically practicing taking in an extra large breath because the mouth, you know, it's much larger than the sum of two nostrils. So if you are used to mouth breathing in the day with light activity, with concentration, or just all the time, then that will translate into mouth breathing at night and you draw in air too fast. So that's one of the best things to identify is to watch yourself, the way you breathe during the day, and see how much mouth breathing is going on. And then once you start to correct that, that will make a difference to how fast you breathe at night.
So if I breathe through my mouth a lot, Dr. Graham, so if I'm a mouth breather, is it as simple as recognizing that, close my mouth and breathe out of my nostrils? I mean, is that as simple as it is?
Simple in one way, but very difficult for some people. The research shows that if you can stop mouth breathing at night, the incidence of obstructive sleep apnea will go down about 50% just through closing the mouth, even more.
Wow.
But for some people who've got a very blocked nose, the thought of closing their mouth makes them feel like they're going to suffocate. So a step before that is to practice breathing more gently through the mouth so you can cut the volume back a bit without putting yourself under stress. So in my book, I describe, you know, the ways to tackle that situation if the nose is blocked. To unblock the nose first to make nose breathing more comfortable and then switch over to nose breathing. But for someone who's just got their mouth open because they're not aware, then they can just, you know, work on sort of being more aware during the day. And if they can reduce the mouth breathing the first day, I'll guarantee that they will have less snoring that night.
Now, do you find that some of those nasal strips that open up the nasal airways, does that help the mouth breather at all to focus more on nasal breathing?
They can certainly help because they are basically stretching the tissues over the nose, giving them a larger size nose to breathe through. So when they're trying to switch over from large mouth breathing to the less air that goes up the nose, those strips will sort of give them an interim state of, you know, less breathing, but it's still more than just nose.
Dr. Graham, let's we're going to have to leave it there because we're running out of time. Real quickly, give us a website that my listeners can go to.
Okay, the website is breathability.com.au. That's B-R-E-A-T-H-E, ability.com.au. On my website, I've put a free report up.
Dr. Graham, we're going to have to leave it there. We'll let the listeners go. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.